Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. This is a good group of films. I'm going to say that only because, from a consonant standpoint, it's world class. They are Dhokra, Till Death, and Mama Weed. Hi, David.
Hi, Jill. You did that marvelously. You said those consonants really like the pro you are.
Thank you very much. How are the movies?
Well, the movies, we are, for a good deal of today's episode, we are plunging into the world of horror, because both Dhokra and Till Death are horror movies. Mama Weed isn't a horror movie. It's more of a caper movie, a sort of a crime thriller, but, you know, it has a certain darkness also. So in a way, there is there's a bit of consistency to these three films, but mainly they are all out now, and they're all kind of very available for people to see. Dhokra is an international co-production, but it's basically a Tunisian film. So I always like to celebrate when we get movies that are put into wide release in the United States. Of course, wide release nowadays includes internet releases and stuff like that, not just movie theaters, but that are from parts of the world where we don't usually get movies from. Of course, we get most of our movies in America from Hollywood and from the sort of major independent distributors, and then to a certain extent from Western Europe. But it's always lovely when we start to get a movie that really comes from a different place. And Dhokra is basically, again, a Tunisian movie, and it is apparently the first movie made in Tunisia that is really a horror movie. So we're talking history here. The first Tunisian horror movie. And it turns out that the first Tunisian horror movie is the most popular movie, judged by sort of box office take, in Tunisia of any Tunisian film to date. So it turns out that people in Tunisia have apparently been waiting for the first Tunisian horror movie. And now that it's here, they really like it, because in Tunisia, this movie has been really cleaning up the box office. I'm not sure it's going to do that in the United States or elsewhere, but it's really popular in Tunisia. And hey, it's a pretty good horror movie. I should jump in and say that right now. It's not a great horror movie or anything like that, but yeah, it's a good movie. If a rather derivative one. It reminded me of all kinds of other horror movies, which we'll get to in a moment. I should say it was written and directed by Abdelhamid Bouchnak, who I think has a real talent. And it all starts off with some students who have an assignment from their college teacher. They are journalism students, and they are supposed to make some sort of a filmed or videoed special report on some subject or other. And the teacher doesn't want them to go into the usual stuff that everybody, you know, the political stuff that most of the students go to work on. He wants them to do something unusual. So one of these three students, their names are Yasmin, Belil, and Walid. One of them has this really great idea that the other two decide to go with. There was a woman who was found something like 20 years ago in a horrible state, abandoned and injured and maimed, out in a remote rural area. And ever since then, this woman, who is known as Manja, has been in an asylum. She's been there for like 20 years. So they say, why don't we go try to find out what happened to this woman 20 years ago? It is said that she's a witch. It would be really interesting if we could get some kind of do a report on her and on what happened to her. So they have to go back, that means, to the place where she was found. She was found in the middle of nowhere on a road, by the side of a road. And before you know it, after that, car trouble and that kind of thing that horror movies have, they find themselves in a Dhokra, which is basically a little isolated village and absolutely in the middle of nowhere, where this woman apparently ran into her original trouble. trouble. There, a man kind of decides he's going to help them out, but somehow they then discover they're not able to simply get back in their car and go away again. Oh, warning signs in a horror movie. Oh, well, your car's so far away, we'll have to drive you to your car in the morning. And then in the morning, oh, no, your car, somebody stole the tires. And anyway, they are stuck there, and there's going to be all kinds of bad things happening. You can be sure of that. And yes, all kinds of bad things happen. And Dacre is, it delivers in the sort of ominousness and violence department and all of that for people who like horror movies, as I rather do. So I said before that Dacre is kind of derivative. It reminded me of other movies. And again, you know, there have been so many movies where people are, you know, stuck in the woods with ominous other people and all of that. So in a way, this is kind of like the Blair Witch Project. It's very similar to that in a lot of ways. I sort of think of it as the Tunisian Witch Project, which is kind of, that's okay. They're doing sort of a variation on that movie. It reminded me a bit of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. There's no chainsaw in it, but there's all the kind of ominous, witchy kinds of things going on and evil people stuck out, you know, in the sticks and all of that. And there are other reminded me a little bit when they go to visit Manja in her asylum where she's been kept for 20 years, reminded me a little bit of the Silence of the Lambs, although Hannibal Lecter got to be in a much more upscale kind of institution than that old woman is in. So anyway, it reminded me of these other movies, and it has similarities with these other movies, but at the same time, it has an unusual spin being from Tunisia and all that. And it's a very well done movie. It scares you from time to time, and it's very ominous from time to time. It's one of these movies where one of the signs that something is desperately wrong in this little community of odd, strange people in the middle of the woods, some of whom wear hoodies that cover their whole heads, is that there's a lot of meat hanging up all over the place. There's just meat here and meat there, and you know that something's going on. I, as a vegetarian, I always find it interesting when the fact that people like meat is used as a signifier of evil. But I'm not saying that, folks. But I thought that was sort of amusing about the film. But anyway, Dacre, a pretty good horror movie. If you like horror movies, you really might want to check it out. And again, it's from a part of the world we don't get that many movies from. And that alone makes it worth paying attention to. Our second movie is another horror movie. It is called Till Death. And it was directed by S.K. Dale. And it is very much an American affair. And we start out with a very, very upscale young couple. Oh, my gosh, they just seem to be just as privileged as all get out. The man is a very big deal lawyer at a very big deal law firm, and his wife is an absolutely beautiful woman. They just seem to have everything going for themselves. And it's all very nice. And he is taking her out to dinner to mark their anniversary, and he gives her a gift, which turns out at the end of the movie to have a real, or near the end of the movie, have a real extra significance. He gives her a gift. He says it's their steel anniversary. And so he gives her a little steel necklace, which we find out much later on is not really steel. But anyway, it's all very nice, and he gives her that. But we know that their marriage has not been all that satisfactory lately. Even though he's treating her like a queen, and he's doing all these lovely things, and they have this lovely dinner, and he gives her this lovely gift, and all of that, there just seems to be some underlying tension. Well, after dinner, they get in the car, and he says he has a surprise for her, and she has to put a blindfold on. And all this is the beginning of the movie. This isn't really spoiler stuff. They drive and they drive and they drive, and she gets more and more upset with having to have this blindfold on so she can't see where she is being driven to by her husband in the middle of the night. Eventually, it turns out that he's simply been driving her to a country place they have. A place way out in the, you know, in the sticks, which is on a lake, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place. Although this is now the middle of winter, and there's snow and ice everywhere, so she's a little surprised that they're going there. But they go there, and then they have, you know, some sort of a night of passion together. When she wakes up in the morning, and again, all of this is the beginning of the movie. It's just setting things up. When she wakes up in the morning, hungover, they're both hungover. She finds that she is handcuffed to her husband. And he then puts a gun to his head and commits suicide. And she is handcuffed to him in this house, in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of winter. And what's she going to do? How's she going to get out of this? So this is not the first time a trick like this has been pulled to set up a horror movie, but, you know, it's a pretty suspenseful situation. We have this woman who is now handcuffed to a corpse, and it's still the beginning of the movie. What's going to happen? So obviously, she's got to get out of there, and of course, it turns out that all the telephones have been disabled and this and that and the other thing. As the movie proceeds, yes, other people show up. Things do not get any easier for the poor woman who is stuck out there, and for a long time, she remains handcuffed to this corpse. So that's basically what Till Death is. So the reason why Till Death for me is sort of interesting, by the way, it's gotten very, very good reviews, and I'm not sure it's really that good a movie as the good reviews indicate. And if you are, you know, looking out for women in danger as being not one of your favorite genres, boy, that's just all this movie is this woman escaping from one thing after another. It's what some movie critics would call an ordeal movie, where it's all about some person who is having a terrible ordeal, and you just got to see him sort of endure it and somehow maybe try to get out of it. So anyway, that's what Till Death is all about. What interests me about it more is that for much of the way, it's a nice example of sort of minimalist horror. And I rather like the idea of the minimalist film, where there are very few characters and where we have to have a very limited kind of a situation, and you have to see how many variations that the writer and director and the all, you know, all the different people can pull on this to keep us interesting, to keep us involved in this story. They don't have to be horror movies. There was a wonderful movie, which I think is unjustly overlooked, starring Robert Redford as really the only character quite a few years ago called All Is Lost, where at the beginning of that movie, he is on his yacht and he's all alone, and his yacht has crashed into something and is going to sink pretty soon. And that's the movie. And it's all Robert Redford on this yacht, which is about to sink. And it's a really, really good movie, a better movie than Till Death. But again, I rather like this sort of minimalist sort of horror movies. There was also a movie a few years ago about a couple of scuba divers who get abandoned by their boat, and they're out in the middle of the ocean and there are sharks around. So Till Death is that sort of movie. It's not the most radical version of that sort of movie because, again, there are actually a few characters, not just two or three. But there aren't very many, and most of the setting is that house out in the middle of nowhere. And it's kind of interesting to watch the filmmakers come up with one twist after another, occasionally putting a little bit of cleverness and wit into it. So again, if you're a fan of horror, you might really check out Dhokra from Tunisia, and you certainly might check out Till Death, an interesting little minimalist type American horror movie. And our final film today, Jill, Mama Weed, as I said at the beginning, is a different kind of a film. It is basically a caper movie, but an interesting and sort of amusing caper movie, and I had a good time watching it. Also, it has, although it's a French-Belgian movie and it takes place in France mostly, it has a connection with North Africa because one of the main characters, well, not one of the main characters, but a pivotal character as a young Moroccan man. So here we have one of the greatest actors in the world, Isabelle Huppert, who can do no wrong. She is absolutely amazing in everything that she does, and she's amazing in this movie too. And in fact, she's the best thing about this movie, although it is, you know, it's a good movie in various ways, but mainly it's a good movie because Isabelle Huppert is really the whole show. The director, by the way, was one Jean-Paul Salomé, who has done a very, very nice job of making this into a, you know, a nice, fast-moving and interesting kind of entertainment. So, Mama Weed, the actual French title of the movie is La Daronne, which sort of translates in a way as boss lady, or maybe the godmother in the criminal sense. And she's not really a criminal, our main character, Mama Weed, whose real name is Patience Portefeuille. She is a translator, and she works for the French police. And what she does is, her late husband was from Oman, and so she speaks Arabic very fluently, and she's a translator. She translates and intercepts phone calls and translates what people are saying and that sort of thing from Arabic. So there she is, she's doing her job, and she's also looking after her mother, who has the beginnings of dementia and is in an assisted living home, and she's going to have to leave there because poor Patience is running out of money, and she's not sure how much longer she's going to be able to keep her mother in this place that gives her the care that she so desperately needs. So then something interesting happens. While she is monitoring a phone call and translating it for the police, Patience, our main character, realizes that the young drug dealer that she is monitoring is actually the son of a woman who provides her mother with a lot of the care that she's receiving in that home. So now this is a very interesting connection, and I won't try to trace all the things that happen in this fairly involved thriller. But Patience, played by, again, the great Isabelle Huppert, starts to get involved in the drug dealing. She really needs money to help care for her mother. So she gets involved in the drug dealing, and before you know it, she has transformed herself into Mama Weed by pretending that she herself is a North African person, wearing a great big burqa to hide her features and big sunglasses and all of that. And just becoming Mama Weed and becoming a boss lady and a godmother and getting totally involved with all of these dope dealers. And also lending more complication is the fact that her boyfriend, an older man, is now the head of the crime unit that she works for. So here she's supposed to be helping track down the dope dealers, and now she has become one of the dope dealers herself. Mama Weed is a very entertaining movie. And again, for the millionth time, I will say Isabelle Huppert is magnificent in it, and the whole cast is wonderful. Everybody is in it, both the French characters and the North African characters. Everybody is terrific, really well acted, really well directed, very snappy. It doesn't always sustain itself with all of its twists and turns. They're not all fascinating or brilliant, but it's just a fun movie to sort of follow along an increasingly convoluted plot, have fun with it, and watch Isabelle Huppert be Isabelle Huppert, who is, again, one of the great actors in the world. So that is my partly horrific story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you, as always. It wasn't that horrific. David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Dacra, Till Death, and Mama Weed.